Lord and sage, Lee, and agreeing with all the time forgetting to record this one. There we go. Or you might get a listen of the credit in this one at some stage in the future. Amen. Just want to remind everybody, just the folks about the wee yellow prayer list. There are a number of people on that piece. We pray for the Hamilton family at this time, for after the loss of father and grandfather, David Hamilton. I do believe he wasn't saved, you were saying, but this may be an opportunity for some of the family to get saved. So please do pray for the Hamilton family. Do also pray for the Spratt family down there in Drumahoe direction. Anita Spratt passed away about a week ago. Please do pray for their family too. I don't know if there were any saved folks in it, but the Bible says better to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because his hearts are open to the scriptures. Also pray for William and Rachel Hamilton, having a new baby. So good news there. I know there's bad news, but there's good news too, so please do pray for that. Other than that, it's just business as usual for us, so we'll sing another song. Number, if I can find it, there we go. 111. 111 in the big books. Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. 111. Smudgy line across there, so give me a second. I've been no healthy at all singing that. My apologies. First song wasn't too bad, but then the writing was about four times the size. Then, give me a second, please. Alright. Let's do that again. Sweet Peace, the Gift of God. Thank you. 250 is burdens are lifted. We'll stand again as we sing this one. 250, let's stand as we sing burdens are lifted. Of Matthew chapter 15. So let's begin at verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were at Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, when did Isaiah's prophecy of you say, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples, and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not the man. Verse number 14 is going to be the particular text that we spend time on this evening, where, and the title of the message is When to Stop. Verse 14 records the words of Jesus Christ when he says, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they shall fall into the ditch. When to stop. Let's continue with a wee word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for your many helps and blessings, for your word, Lord, and the provision and the preservation of it. Lord, for this little bit of shelter in the time of storm, for the light and heat that we still have, for your word. I pray, Father, please, that you would open our understanding of it and give me the words to speak on it this evening. We really do need it, Lord, and there's never been a time like today where we needed it more. Please bless our time in your presence. Please be one of our number, Lord. And please, Lord, let this be the every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, but of the man shall not live by bread alone. We need all these things, Lord, and we trust you to provide, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When to stop. Like so many times in the Word of God, we read of a situation where Jesus was having a hard time with the religious people. They had pretty much done with the Bible, and they had their own wee book. But they always looked at the Bible after looking at this little book. And a lot of places have them. You have the Book of Common Prayer. I think that is the Church of Ireland. You have catechisms, greater and smaller. You have the Pearl of Great Price if you happen to be a Mormon. Reasoning from the Scriptures if you happen to be a Jehovah's Witness. And some people don't even bother with the Bible at all. I think if you're a comics fan, you can have the Mind of Bible. You don't have to believe a single thing. And you don't have to be interested in anything except how good the art is. But a lot of people would believe the teachings of the church before they would believe the teachings of the Bible. The Lord said, I think it was way back in either Psalms or Proverbs, that he has magnified his word above all his name. In other words, it's the word of God. It doesn't matter the label on the front of the church. It's the word of God that is preached in it. That is important. So we're looking at it this evening, and as the Lord did so many times, he is trying to impress upon everybody, not just the apostles, but everybody, just how important the Word of God is. When everything else passes away, God said the Word of God will remain. He said heaven and earth will pass away, the Word of God will stand. And so he's trying to explain this to the scribes and the Pharisees, who are more fixated on climbing up the career ladder and getting to be the big cheese, the
state-appointed high priest of the country. And, well, to cut the long story short, he says, all the things that you believe and all the things that you teach, bear in mind this was the same people that were selling animals in the synagogue and changing money out in the empty way. The church had departed so far from what the Lord had left it at with the last words in Malachi, just after Zechariah, or by reading it. The Lord came in one day and he tipped over all the tables and chased the animals and the people out with whips of cords. Things had gotten really bad. And it had gotten so bad, and this is a thing that only God knows, it had gotten so bad that God, Jesus, God in the flesh, wasn't even going to bother with them anymore. I think the most frightening, one of the most frightening verses in the Bible is this verse here, where Jesus says, let them alone. I am done. We're done talking to them. Can you imagine being in a position where God said to you, you've never listened. Every one of your deeds, every one of your actions is constantly against what I teach. I'm not going to bother you anymore. And he did indeed say that in Romans chapter 1 for everybody in it. In Romans chapter 1 case, it was the sin of homosexuality. And God said he'd just give them over to a reprobate mind. Let them do whatever they want. He's not going to even bother with them. And that's what Jesus says here. And that's a frightening thought. That means they're so entrenched in their thoughts that it wouldn't matter if God Almighty stood in front of them and explained the gospel, because that's exactly what happened. And it didn't matter. And that's a sobering thought. There's quite a lot of stuff that goes in there, especially dealing with people. You can eat all the trash you like and you can still be a good Christian. You might not be a good Christian for very long if you're eating trash. But you can eat whatever you want. You can still be a very good Christian. You can love the Lord. You can turn up. You can tithe. You can sing. You can testify. You can study your Bible. You can memorize your Bible. You can be an excellent Christian. God says you're supposed to look after your body as well. And people would remember you as a good Christian if your life ended. And they were singing your praises at the eulogy, and the pastor could say, oh, he was great, he went round, he preached, he was faithful in church, he was a good guy, he would roll his sleeves up for anybody. Then there's people who are super fit and healthy in the filthy mind. They hate God, don't think twice about taking his name in vain, cursing and swearing and damning everybody with the name above all names which should be used to save people. And whenever they die and go into eternity, their praises are not being sung, and there's no testimony beside them. Anyway, it's what comes out of your mouth. Because your mouth brings forth from the treasures of your heart, and your heart contains all the things that you ponder on when nobody's watching, and the whole world is asleep. Anyway, God said, let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. They can't see. They're unwilling to acknowledge that they can't see, and they want everybody else to follow them. And guess what happens when the blind people lead the blind, especially in the Boy Road? The big long ditch at the far end of it, about 200 yards long, you're going to go into it. And I tell you what, there was a young fellow driving a car. You're supposed to pass an eyesight test. It was about 2 years ago. He ended up in the ditch in about 4 foot of water, and it was a good job he got out. Blind leaders, let them alone. If they're unwilling to acknowledge that they're blind, there's no working with them. What can you tell someone? You can't explain to them colour. You can't explain to them beauty of the sunset. The colours on a peacock's feathers and the shimmering effects of that. You can't explain those things to a blind person. In this case, God was talking about being spiritually blind. How can he explain salvation? How can he explain human nature to someone that is completely fixated upon church doctrine? Not biblical doctrine, but church doctrine. So he says, let them alone. There's a number of other places in the Bible. God says, for instance, don't cast your pearls before swine. If people are just out and out against you, there's no point in you telling them about the beautiful things of the Bible, the things that speak to you. What's the point in telling them about all the helps that God has given to you? It's not going to make a difference. Blind bit of difference to them. Don't cast your pearls before swine, because the rest of the verse says, lest they turn and rend you, they will attack you, mock you, scoff at you, as if they're not doing that already. God says, let them alone. Now, all the way through the Bible, Old and New Testament, is a story of a very patient and loving and judgmental and vengeful a God, I was going to say, who expresses the full range of human emotions. Maybe the way you should put that is, the God upon whom all our emotions are based. Because we are made in His image, don't forget. And how many times did you read Old Testament and New, like, how many times did the Pharisees even plan to kill Jesus? How many times? Many times. They schemed and they weaved and they deemed and they thought they'd struck gold whenever they got Judas to turn on them. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, just you wait. I could, at this very moment in time, call 12 legions of angels down. And we need to bear in mind that just one was able to kill 180,000 men of war in one night. Those 12 legions of angels could have marched from the north to the south and killed every single person on the face of the earth. And you know what the sad thing about that is? They would all deserve it. We would all deserve it. Because we don't deserve anything. But as the Bible says, sin, the wages of sin is death. Let them alone. When do you stop? In the Old Testament, God contended even with his own people for decades. We were reading in Zechariah, sorry, Will was reading in Zechariah about King Darius. He was a king of the Medes and the Persians. And the very reason that Zechariah and many of his predecessors were under the jackboot of the Medes and the Persians was because the whole of the children of Israel had stopped going to church, had stopped considering God. They were no worse, they were no better than the pagans in the land that they had conquered for themselves. They were bad. They had rejected God, so he rejected them. All his blessings were done, all his protection was done, the peace that they had around about was done, the victories that they had in battle, that was done. God stopped. God is patient. I believe love is the greatest element of patience, and love thinketh no evil and wants the best and thinks the best and gives people chance after chance after chance. And whilst God is long-suffering, he's not forever suffering. He has patience, but it runs out. It's the same in this world, even. And we referred to it this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, about the rapture that's mentioned in the Bible, the catching away, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, there comes a time when God just says, is that the time? Is that the time? That's the time when no one else is getting saved. I think I'm just going to take the Holy Spirit off the world. And everybody that's saved with the Holy Spirit goes with it. And then God's judgment falls, because you see, God's patience just ran out at that particular time. Every single lost soul in the face of this world is living under the blessing of God's patience. Right now. Another day, another opportunity, another time of conviction, of constraint by the Holy Spirit, another time of witnessing and testifying by the very creation itself. Another word in an ear, another prayer over a meal by a believer. Every single one of those is God's loving patience extended to a Christ-rejecting world. But it's going to stop. Now, God gave a whole bunch of signs about when it was going to stop. We're not talking about the rapture and the coming judgment. That's coming. Read it in the Bible, Revelation chapter 6 through 16 gives a harrowing tale of the 21 judgments being visited upon this earth, but we're going to be watching that from heaven. We'll not be here for it. The Word of God tells us that there comes a time when our patience should stop as well. Somebody once said, when it comes to chastening children, you never chasten a child when they break your patience or break your temper. A child should be chastened when they break the rules. That way it can be measured, and there's no more, how would you put it, effort into reddening a bum or whatever the punishment is that was given out. There is no more effort put into it than what needs to be. There is no anger or fury put into it, because the idea is to teach the child a lesson, not to break their little bodies. God doesn't want that. Anyway, we have to stop. I don't know about you, but there's plenty of stuff going on in my life. And from one end of it to another, there's been plenty of times when I've had to work with people, and that's when most troubles happen in this world, isn't it? People. Sometimes I've thought over the years, I think that's why I enjoyed computers so much. They didn't talk back. They just did exactly what you needed them to do. I loved working with them. No nonsense. Get the occasional flaky power supply, whip it out, put a new one in, sort it. See, when it comes to people, that's a whole different story. Because people are people. Anyone that's ever worked with computers knows that computers are perfect, except whenever there's people involved. They say the same about churches. Churches are perfect, except when there's people involved, and then they're not perfect anymore, because we're not perfect. I'm going to talk about a few things first that we mustn't stop, and then we'll talk about a few things that the Bible gives us instruction on when to stop. The book of James, it says that we are to not run away from the trial of our faith, because the trial of our faith worketh patience. And we are commanded to let patience have a perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means difficult times. And it also means in those difficult times we are to keep our eyes on the Lord. We are to keep the Bible verses rattling around in our head, thinking on good things instead of wringing people's necks. And the Lord will make us a better person. That's the plan. How do we stop wringing somebody's neck whenever they do us wrong? How do we stop knocking on their door in the middle of the night with a balaclava and a baseball bat and just giving them what we think they deserve? Hey, let me tell you, there's a few boys around here I am sure would still think about doing that, and they wouldn't be bothering with patients. I'm saying that advisedly, metaphorically. How do we stop that? When we spoke earlier on about that in prayer, about man not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you eat your food, Bible says, goes into your belly. Your intestines and your stomach literally rip that food apart and take the carbs and put energy in. You take the vitamins and keep the body running smoothly, and you take the protein and use it for repairs. It makes that a part of your body. The Lord said, you might exist by bread alone, but you will not live by bread alone. You also need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not just in the Bible. The only way a Bible is going to save you by keeping it in your pocket if it stops a bullet, and there have been instances of that happening in the war. Especially a Bible about that thick there. What God was actually saying, and he said it a number of times, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, you need to make the Word of God part of your life. And that's it. If you want to stop sinning, you want to cut your sinning away down, hide His Word in your heart, memorize it. And God promises you that when you need it, for yourself or for somebody else, that the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. I am actually living on that promise in prayer right now. Whenever we were up at the Crescent Link earlier on this afternoon, I depend upon that for 40 minutes. I'm going up there and I've got a bit of the jitters because I think Is this going to be the day whenever I go up in my own pride and I can't think of a single thing to say? And the Lord, just give me a couple of verses of scriptures and off we go. So we're doing the same here. A few notes for them. Depend upon the Lord. As a Christian, as long as your eyes work, your ears work, your mind works, you are never to stop being a Christian. You should never stop either reading to or listening to God's word. If your eyes fail, you should listen to God's word. It would probably help your memory too. You should never stop studying God's word, asking questions. Excuse me, preacher, what does that mean? Or are you sure about that? Because I read in the Bible somewhere else, preachers are not the expert, just might happen to be a bit more expert. You ever hear that old saying about teachers? Teachers don't have to know everything, they just have to know the next page. Anyway, never stop with the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We need the word of God. How many times have I made decisions based upon the word of God and been okay, whereas if I made my own decision, it would be disaster. It would be a step down the wrong road. We need the word of God. And that's the easy bit. Well, try doing it. Try doing it in the middle of your favorite film. It is the easy bit. It's the needful bit because it's right in front of us. We can turn on our lamp on our beds. We can call it up on our phones when we're in the car park or in the toilet. Goodness, we can read the Bible literally anywhere. We can even run over a verse 10 times. We should have it in our heads. I remember doing it with the kids here. 10 times over the verse, 5 times reading it and repeating it. Close the books, 5 times repeating it. Their wee minds are better than mine. And they learn whole swathes of the scripture in just a week. And we just hope and pray that it helps them as the years go on. That's what we need to do. Because you see, whenever those words are in there, instead of twisting that person's head off, the Bible says, look, bless them that curse you. And help them that despitefully use you, for in doing so you heap coals of fire upon their head. Because people they're ready for a bit of opposition, but they're not ready for being nice in Christ. And that really messes with people's minds, especially lost people. If he hates me, how can he help me? How can he be nice to me if he hates me? Something's going on. I need to get my head around that. We're never to stop. We're never to stop going to church if we can go. I know people. Multiple people from the congregation over the years that have come to the end of their lives, and they would give their right arms to be able to be in church. Their health just wasn't the best. Because whenever you get to that point in your life, your focus narrows down from all the trivia and things that we fill our lives with right down to Jesus Christ. Jesus and me in good terms. And I'm in good terms with my Father. And as long as you are, that is what gives a person peace as they prepare to step off into eternity. That's what's important. That's what people need to hear. That's what gives us all that God needs us to know. We, of course, need to be saved. You never stop being saved. Whenever you go home and take your coat off, you don't stop being a Christian. Whenever you pull the curtains, whenever you're surfing the web, you don't stop being a Christian. Just like the Bible says, if a Christian joins himself to a harlot, he's joining the Holy Ghost to a harlot. They're not supposed to do that. It's the same with everything we do. Once you're saved, John chapter 10 tells us you're saved forever. And Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. So does the Father. And the Holy Spirit has you sealed within. Three-way guarantee. Never stops. Not when you want to, not when somebody else wants to, not when disastrous events happen to you. It never stops. So bearing that in mind, you should never stop, never, ever worry about being lost. Never worry about heaven, because God is taking care of that. That's his promise to you. Never stop getting to church. never stop praising God. There was a line there whenever I wasn't thanking the Lord whenever I woke up in the morning. Some mornings I was waking up fuzzy. And I don't mean needing a beard or my beard shaved. I meant my mind was fuzzy. Wasn't getting the best of sleeps. And it wasn't until later on in the day when I'd be doing my walk up and down the road that I'd be saying, well, thank you, God, for the day. We should be thanking God. And I know it's really difficult, and good or bad, as Paul said, we should learn to be content wherever we are. With food and raiment, he said, be content. But he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We should never be done thanking God, because he's there. And the thing about it is, whenever you go through difficult times and you depend on God and you thank God, well then that difficult time is not so difficult. And literally what God has done is toughened you up a wee bit and helped you see that you can cope with more as he goes. So you never stop. Never stop praising him. Never stop talking to him. I don't know if you've ever had a good friend for some reason took umbrage at you and stopped talking to you. You miss him. You miss the company, you miss the crack, you miss the point of view, you miss the friendship, you miss the reliability. Can you imagine Adam and Eve? For the first who knows how long, every evening they walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden. And then they went and they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that was done. Can you imagine the loss that they felt? Can you imagine the emptiness that was inside of their hearts and minds? That same emptiness that drives people to all sorts of extremes. That's what lost people have. But it'll never stop. That will be fulfilled for the Christian. It will never stop as long as you keep talking to God. In fact, our reading this morning, Philippians chapter 4, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, talking to God, supplication, pleading with him and asking him, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It's a perfect solution for mental health problems. Philippians chapter 4. Think on good things. Talk to God. Tell him your troubles. Never stop. Because I can guarantee you, as sure as shooting, as you're drawing breath in this life, there is going to be a bit of opposition for you. Somebody once said, without trying to make the Christian life sound very difficult, you're either in a problem, coming out of a problem, or just getting ready to go into a problem. You need Jesus all the time. Never stop talking to him, seeking his advice, putting things forward. Well, Lord, what do you think about if I was to go up and do that? God might say, why don't you give it a shot? He might say, no, it's not a good idea. And he might just say, I've got something different for you. One that you're better suited for. Talk to God. And you see, when you're done talking to God, listen to God. It's a bit like the husband and the wife. I always listen to my wife. I always let her talk. Sorry, let me put that another way. My wife always talks, just a lot of the times I don't listen. And then ask her about something she just explained to me. It's good manners to listen. We should listen to what God says. Many times he talks to us through the scriptures as we read them. Many times he talks to us in church as we listen to the preaching of the scriptures. Many times he'll talk to us in a hymn. Or even as we're walking down the road, many times just letting Bible verses go through your head. Or, and I can't remember the man that said it, D.L. Moody maybe, I can't recall who it was, but many, many years ago. He said he learned a great lesson that every time you go to the Lord, you don't have to be going petitioning him for stuff. You don't have to be going with him with a tale of woe or a list of wants. You don't have to be doing that. There was one day he was in his study and his little son came in and he had a wee wooden train or something and he was just in front of his desk and he was just playing with his train. His father says, what are you doing in here? What do you want? The wee fellow said, I don't want anything, Dad. I just want to be where you are. And sometimes you just need that as well. Never stop. never stop living for the Lord. It will always work in your favor. Never stop praising. Never stop tithing. The moment the people stop giving to the church doors close. Well, maybe about a month or two down the line. And there will be no outreach anymore. There will be no place for people to come and worship. There will be nobody there to help you with your difficulties, to pray for you when you're not praying for it, to explain the scriptures, to help you out of situations. That's what they said there. That's not the situation. Remember that thing that was on the radio a few years back? Some of the puppets were taking a hand out of dairy folks and were saying, situation, situation, situation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's plenty of them about. Never stop looking for the Lord. Never stop testifying. I remember hearing about a wee woman who had always been very, very shy, a bit backwards. Saved woman on her deathbed. And the minister came to visit her, very somber. She was all full of smiles. He says, I can't believe that you're so happy. She says, it's great, Pastor. He says, I can talk about God as much as I want, and nobody says the same thing to me. And she had these wonderful opportunities to testify about, even on her deathbed, about all the great things that God was doing for her. Never stop. There is never a time to stop. There are things that we should stop. And one of them is worry. Things rolling over and over and over in your head. Sometimes if you write them down, sometimes if you talk about them to somebody else, it helps a wee bit to have some outside advice. But we shouldn't worry. We should pray. Remember that verse in Philippians 4 where we should tell God about everything? The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and minds. Tell it to God. The Bible also says we shouldn't seek revenge. And I know that's difficult. Especially in this society when it's been tit for tat for what, 40 or 50 years. You have the Republicans hit the loyalists hit the Republicans. If you're in America, it would be black folks versus white folks versus Italian folks versus Chinese folks. And everyone would be, oh, they put, what was it they said in the Untouchables? They put one of our guys in the hospital, let's put two of their guys in the morgue. Mm-hmm. That's human nature. You hurt me, I'm going to make sure I hurt you back. That doesn't do anything but breed more hurt coming your direction later on, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and literally until there's nobody left. The Lord said, dearly beloved, he said, give to your son to wrath. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And sometimes it happens in the most spectacular forms. I remember many years ago, I used to give a lift to a lady came to the church. She put in a false insurance claim against me. I don't know how many tens of thousands she got out of my insurance company. She never set foot in one of my cars again, but she came back for a while. And she gave money to her family. This family got a couple of thousand, that family got a couple of thousand, there were four or five kids, and everybody got a couple of grand. And then she put the remaining of it into the house. And I thought, well, more power to you. And then the next thing I hear is the bank takes the house over. It all newly trigged up and decorated. And I'm sure God will forgive me for a little bit of a smile and a gloat and a recounting of the tale, but God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And if you are busy sharpening your knives or polishing your knuckles, and you're just about to thump that person, when that lightning strike hits them, you know the way lightning works, don't you? Hundreds of thousands of volts can spread out 15 or 20 foot in every direction from the point it hits, and you're about to punch somebody in the mouth, the lightning's going to hit you too. You don't want to be there. God can sort those that hurt his children out better than you or I can, and best of all, nobody can point a finger back at you again. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. How do you explain me? How do you explain me making someone lose their house? How do you explain me making someone blow out their liver? That wasn't me. That's nothing to me. They were obviously up to no good, and God just saw them right. We are to stop seeking revenge. Now, that doesn't mean you let people walk over you. I'm not saying about let people walk over you. If for someone in your life that keeps hurting you, take that pair of scissors and cut them out of it. Just let them be. Tell them God loves them, but you don't, and all you're doing is causing trouble, and off you go, and I don't want to see your face again. Grudges, worry, revenge. We're supposed to let God deal with those things. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes these things grow like huge mountains in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a single man lift a mountain up in a long-tailed shovel. Not in one go, anyway. I've seen Norman and me out there clear, I'm sure there's at least a ton of concrete. That didn't go on one shovel either. There was many shovelfuls, there's many pickaxes thrown, and I think we even went through an SDS drill, busting that concrete up, and there were 15 or 20 wheelbarrow loads went out the back of the church. There were 2 trailer loads went up to my house of gravel, an inch at a time, a foot at a time, a stone at a time, a trailer load at a time. And sometimes it takes that for all of your worries, for all of your grudges, for all of the things that need to happen to people, for all of the vengeance that we would like to have. Sometimes we got to go back for that. Hurts can run very deep. More than a slap in the mouth, more than a kick up the backside, the things that people can do to you can run very, very deep. We are to stop giving the enemy free space in our hearts and minds. We are supposed to commit it to God. And bear this in mind when it says we are to forgive them. Not so that they can go out and do whatever they want to anybody else, but so that we are not giving them free rample in our free space in our heads for our own sakes. And let God sort it out. Does anyone remember the parable of the sheep and the goats? Remember God said to the sheep, "You're in, you guys are in." And he said to the goats, "You guys are out." He said, "But why?" The sheep said. He said, "Because when I was tired, hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was in prison, when I was on my own, you came and fed me, watered me, clothed me, you talked to me, and you ministered to me." He said, "We never did that to you, God. We never saw you." What did Jesus say? "And as much as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." I said the same to the goats. Whenever you didn't do it, whenever you were out causing bother to my people, you did it to me. God is not going to let his children be picked on for very long. That is why 21 judgments are coming. Let me tell you something, friends. God's judgment sees the light of day many times in this day and age. So it pays. Don't hold grudges. If there's things that need to be sorted out, sort them out by all means, but don't let them gain a foothold in your heart. Christians, sometimes we think we're the best of people, don't we? But a lot of times we like to be Christians on our own terms, don't we? I'm going to be a Christian as long as it suits me. I remember a wee girl went to a church. Everything was going grand until the preacher got up and started preaching about Bible versions. She said, "I didn't like the preacher preaching about all the different Bible versions. I didn't like the way he said the King James was the only Bible. I didn't like the way he said the NIV, the Bible that I love, that my mummy got for me, and it's so easy to understand." One of those statements is an outright lie. "I don't like the way he said it was, it wasn't the right Bible. There's so many errors and mistakes on it. I'm leaving the church." You know a wee girl like that. Took herself out of church, took her husband out of church, split the family up. all because she disobeyed God, thinking that the thoughts of her heart were the most important thing in the world. And what does the Bible say even about that? It talks about our hearts being deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know the depths that they'll stoop to? And that last bit's mine. Because we need to stick with the Bible and stop disobeying God. And I know it's difficult. You see that man down there? Norman? He kept me that busy. I actually changed my Bible habits over the past year. Working a 9-to-5, 5 and 4 and 5 and maybe even 6 days a week sometimes to get this place back in the state it's in now. And I am glad of it. Changed my Bible habits. And it's a struggle for me some days. Not your fault, Norman, that's my fault. I said I would like to blame Norman, but the blame lies squarely in my victim. You can't let that ever be an excuse, a change of schedule, a change of scenery, a change of... We can't let that be an excuse for just doing whatever we want, regardless of what the Bible says. There's never an excuse for disobeying God. But I have seen me, whenever I was ill, I used to love watching YouTube videos about painting and building models. Nothing harmful. It was just entertaining because I loved to paint them and build models. It was a place that I could switch off and watch. But I found that sometimes I end up watching those when I should be reading the Bible. And I literally have to grab the reins of my heart and point myself back in the right direction. And it's always a blessing when you obey God. Even just to say, I obey God. Sometimes it's a chore. And the world, the flesh, and the devil is fighting against it. But we need to stop that. We need to catch ourselves and we need to say, well, you know what? If I watch this for an hour, it's an hour wasted, and I can quite easily be doing something else. We need to stop that. And we need to listen to what God says. Here's a thing that I have always found. God will honor anything that you give to him. That hour that you give to God, and I think, oh, how am I going to spend an hour reading the Bible and praying? I've got kids to look after, or a husband that's as much work as many kids to look after. And how am I ever going to do all of that? And I've got this, and this to do. How am I ever going to spend time with God? Here's a guarantee for you. Any time that you give to God, he will honor. You will always find there is the time in your life to do everything you need to do. And you may even find there's time to do something you want to do. You'll get better at it. You'll get faster at it. You'll be more successful at it. Things will work out fine. I don't know. God will find a way. And he will honor you as you honor him. So stop disobeying. Stop skirting around the things that apply to you. Do what God asks you to do. It is really, really important. It's difficult. We have an old nature. And that nature wants to destroy and wreck and curse and swear. And that nature wants to feel people's noses crunch under your knuckles. It does. That nature wants to scold people for doing things that you don't agree with. Tear a strip off them. That's in us all. And it needs constant management. But that old nature's going to be gone someday. When we stand in heaven, that old nature will be a real gone thing. It'll only be the new nature that's there. The one that has been trained and empowered and made wise and bold and comforted by the Holy Spirit. It's not an easy thing in this world. If it was, everyone would be doing it. This place would be a literal paradise on earth because everyone would be lifted up spiritually, morally, technologically. It would be perfect. It would be like heaven on earth. But we're not like that. It can be difficult listening to God and obeying God. And that's why we need to go to him every day. That's why we need to talk to him every day. Keep our heads screwed on right. Keep our feet pointing in the right direction down the straight and narrow road. That's why we need to say, well, God, you promised, and here I am, I'm your child. I've left this time aside to see what it is that you want me to do. Now, would you show me, Lord? Even better, you can use my name. You can say, Mark said. See how well that works for you. Mark said that in the Bible, and Mark's right, and the Bible's true. Well, then God has to be as good as his word. But he not say, they that wait upon the Lord, in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a promise from God. Do things God's way and renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll just scoot over a lot of stuff and just not bother with it anymore. So run and not be weary and walk and not faint. 2 Samuel 22, the words of our first line or so of this blessed old book, talks about God being a lamp and a light to your feet. The verses in 2 Samuel 22 also say that by God I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. He set my feet like hinds' feet upon my high places. These are the things that God will do for each one of us here and now if we keep up with him, if we maintain our fellowship, if we maintain our time in his word, his time in his presence, and the time in his service. I know not everyone's called to be full-time Christian and full-time service, but every saved soul is called to be a full-time Christian, and we should never stop. Never stop. There's a bunch of things we need to kick out. Some of them are even, they feel that important that if we got rid of them, it would be like cutting off our right hand. You know what Jesus said? Whether it's your right hand or your right eye or your right foot, you're better off without it than going on the straight and narrow and ending up in heaven than going to hell with doing all the things that the old man loves to do. You keep walking and talking with God, you'll know when to stop. You'll know. You'll also know what to stop and what to keep going. I want to thank you for your good time. God bless you. Again, I appreciate your good attention. We'll close our Bibles and we'll open our hymn books and we'll sing one last song by way of closing, and then we will be dismissed. Oh, wrong hymn book. There we go. That's one. There it is. Hymn number 173. 173 in the big books. Love lifted me. Let's stand as we sing. 173.
Stay.
thank you all for your good time and attention this evening. God bless you. I hope you have an awful Halloween celebration. Glad to see you here. That's always a sign that you're not going to have an awful Halloween celebration. But just pray for the folks that are out there. Some of them haven't a clue of their left hand from their right hand. They really do need it. They really do need to be saved. Well, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, and then we'll shake hands and finish. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the service, Lord, and thank you for the word spoken by Mark, Lord. Touch it to our hearts, Lord, and remember, Lord, and use it in daily lives. Grow to restore you, Lord, may we Christ center, Lord, correct our past, Lord, and may we be closely drawn today into your Son, through the Holy Spirit as well, Lord. Save souls, save family members as well, and those that are lost, Lord, especially in our land, with those that are, Lord, set tracks through the door just the past months or years, Lord. Use it to move people towards thee, Lord, to make kneel down for the Lord cross and their sins, for the Lord cross to be saved and more for the shed blood of Christ. Grieve our land, Lord. Direct our politics and save souls by the power of the Lord, especially those in power, and direct those in power to Christ-centered realization of salvation, and also, Lord, direct their laws and towards your godly ones as well, Lord. Those as we depart our hope and safety, guide us and protect us, Lord, and bless the listeners to the service as well, Lord, be for the welfare of the city or any other means, Lord. Just those mighty coffee men with thy word and thy name be established throughout the earth, Lord, and may we worship thy good holy name, fly on and fly by for your Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.